supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Saturday marks the 94th anniversary of the first public planetarium show. Let's follow the timeline from that event to the establishment of the Fells Planetarium in Philadelphia with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, it's a history lesson that starts in the 1920s.
Yes, that's right. It was 1923 when the first public demonstration of the planetarium was given at what was then the model for the Franklin Institute Science Museum, the Deutsches Museum in Munich, Germany. The device had actually been put together and tested several years before that, but the first public demonstration happened then, and it was a remarkable device at that time. No one had ever seen anything quite like this. A room with stars on the ceiling in which you could manipulate the sky to show you the night sky for any date or time in history.
How did this in turn inspire one Sam Fells from Philadelphia?
Samuel Fells was an industrialist here in Philadelphia that people may remember the family name for Fells Naphtha Soap. And Samuel Fells was a very good friend of another industrialist from Chicago named Max Adler. Max Adler, in the late 1920s, was making a trip to Europe, and Samuel Fells traveled along with him. During that trip, Adler was checking on the progress of the manufacture of a new device he was bringing to the United States, and that was a planetarium. And he had planned this to open in Chicago. Well, when Fells saw this new device, he thought there was no question that Philadelphia should have one. So, supposedly, he ordered one right on the spot. But the most interesting thing about it was he had no place to put it. There was no place in Philadelphia that could take this, but he thought it was important for Philly to have one. But on the drawing boards at that time, at the offices of Windrum Architects, were new plans for a new science museum, the Franklin Institute Science Museum. Now, the Franklin Institute, of course, existed long before the 1930s. It opened in 1824, and its location was 24 South 7th Street. And the plan was for the Franklin Institute to move to its new location at 20th and the Parkway. When Samuel Fells came back from his trip to Europe, he proposed this idea to the Franklin Institute of incorporating a planetarium. The Franklin Institute management took this idea on, and when the planetarium opened here in Philadelphia on January 1st, 1934, it became the second planetarium in the United States following the Adler Planetarium in Chicago, which opened in 1930.
What remains of the hardware from the 1934 planetarium at the Franklin Institute?
Well, that's a really interesting question because we've gone through several iterations of planetarium projection systems. We started out with what was known as the Zeiss Mark II planetarium projector. Within about two decades, we graduated to the Zeiss Mark IV projector, which was much more highly capable, did much more. And we stayed with the Mark IV planetarium projection system until the late 1980s, 1988, in fact. We switched over then to a brand new type of planetarium projector, almost entirely brand new technology, the first what you could call a digital planetarium projector built by a company called Digistar that was owned by another company known as Evans and Sutherland. Our planetarium projector was taken apart and stored in our collections, and we have various parts and pieces of that. The 1934 technology, though, is still in place in a few places around the world, but the technologies have evolved so much that very few planetarians still use that older model, although newer Zeiss models and models produced by other manufacturers of what looks like a giant ant sitting in the middle of the room, those style of projectors still exist. But the digital revolution has really converted us over to a much more modern method of projection. And typically now we do what's called full dome projection, in which two video projectors or a series of video projectors take images generated from a set of computers and put all of those on the dome and stitch electronically together a series of images so that the dome is completely filled with what looks like a regular, normal, beautiful night sky. And planetarium systems can do almost any kind of imagery at all, whether it's artist-created or whether it's actually live material, live camera material. All of this can be projected on the dome, as well as the night sky as we know it travels through the solar system, travels through the galaxy. So planetariums now are much more of a science theater than they are strictly an astronomy theater.
Derek, we have a moment left. What's available to be seen with the naked eye in the night sky this week?
The real action is still in the pre-dawn sky. Mars and Venus dancing around over in the east at around 6:15, 6:30. You can see how they are now well separated in the pre-dawn sky after they were so close together last week. But tomorrow morning, a very, very, very thin waning crescent moon is just to the left of Mars. And during the day, it sneaks past Venus. So by Wednesday morning, that very thin crescent moon will be well past Venus, heading down toward the horizon and its upcoming meeting with the sun at new moon in just a few days.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.